John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John 14:26. Colossians 2:6-7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:6-7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been abounding with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:6-7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians 4:1, and the children will rise and go to their classes. Ephesians 4:1. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to turn our attention to the eternal Word of God. The Bible says that the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. One of the most magnificent things that you and I can do is to open our hearts and minds to the dissemination, communication, proclamation of the wonderful Word of God. And that's our reason for being here again today. We spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we're grateful today that we are your children. We are saved by your matchless grace. We have the assurance that one of these days, either by means of the rapture or by means of physical death, we will depart from this life and we'll be in the presence of our Savior throughout eternity. When we pause to think about that, we realize that oftentimes we do not give consideration as we should to our relationship to our wonderful Savior, who's provided so much for all of us. We're the recipients of salvation by grace. We are the recipients of your provisions on a daily basis. You care for us in every area of life. And so we bow again today to express our thanks for the spiritual blessings of life, the logistical blessings of life, the way that you watch over us and protect us and bless us. And even though these past days have been, for all of us, most unusual days, we've been made aware of the fact that this has been a special time for us as believers. You have given to us the opportunity of a magnificent journey, and we bow to accept and thank you for that magnificent journey. It has been wonderful. It has been great. In the midst of all the inconveniences of life, we realize that these days have been for us magnificent, marvelous, challenging, wonderful days. To those who are, as believers, taking advantage of these days, it has been for us a tremendous and glorious and magnificent blessing. We thank you for these days. We pray that you will guide us now in these moments of study, that we will realize once again what a magnificent journey you've placed us on. And we realize that we're the recipients of the pursuing of God's grace in our individual lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our church family. We bow to express our thanks today, even in the midst of the difficulties of life. We thank you so very much for the way you've blessed us. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. A magnificent passage of scripture. You find it in your bulletin today. We'll be looking at it in a few moments. Therefore, I beseech you, the prisoner of the Lord, that you walk worthily of the calling to which you have been called. I want to begin today by telling you that all of us have faced some unusual days. This is the beginning of another month. We've had now, I believe, 8 or 9 Sundays. And I have to tell you that there have been some things that have happened to your pastor that I feel it is absolutely essential that I share with you at the beginning of this message today. Perhaps you detected it in the prayer. God has given to us what I believe has been and is a magnificent journey. We've never faced this type of journey before. In all these many years that I've been preaching, I've never faced a situation like the last weeks we've had. In our family, Joyce and I have had days like which we have never had in our entire 66 years of marriage. I have to tell you that these have been wonderful, magnificent Bible studying days. These have been, for us, a unique and magnificent and marvelous experience. And I'm not even sure that I can explain it properly. But I have to tell you that I have to put it in words that I put on the screen here today. This has been a magnificent journey. Some of you may say, well, it's been rather difficult for us. Well, perhaps it has been difficult for all of us in different ways. At the same time, it has been, depending upon our decision in relationship to what we're doing to handle this situation, it has been for us a time of intense Bible study. It's been a time of turning our attention away from the distractions of the world and focusing our minds upon God and God's plan for our individual lives and God's Word. What we've discovered is, and I put this down as the next situation on the screen, we've discovered that this has been a time when we've concluded that grace is pursuing us. If you look up the word pursuing, you will find it is an interesting word. It is a word which means to catch up. It could be a word that would be described as chasing. God's grace has been chasing us in a unique way. Over these past days, we have been able to hear the ministers of our church, young ministers, presenting God's Word in a marvelous, magnificent, wonderful way. And every time I come into this auditorium, Whether I'm responsible for the communication or whether I stand here or sit here and listen or whether I stay at home and listen on the internet, I discover that the Word of God is being presented in a unique and wonderful way. Grace is pursuing us. Over the years, it's been my responsibility to teach the book of Ephesians. I've done this a number of times. I'm not going to go back and review for you today the number of times that we've communicated the entire book exegetically of Ephesians. But I can tell you, and I know that all of you remember this, that we started again the book of Ephesians in 2018. This is 2020. So I got to thinking about what I would say in relationship to the fact that I know all of you remember everything that the pastor said in these past years on the book of Ephesians exegetically. And I know that all of you remember all that was said since the beginning of the study of Ephesians in 2018 over these past months. And then I concluded that that's probably not the case. I'm aware of the fact that the book of Ephesians is such a magnificent book, a wonderful book, with so much information that will give assistance to us as believers to have a life of joy and peace and victory and triumph. So I jotted myself a little note to remind me to tell you it's not going to hurt to go back to the book of Ephesians for Christians today. As I thought in terms of this magnificent book and as I reviewed over these past days so many things, I realized that it was unimportant for me to try to exegete in the coming weeks when my responsibility is to communicate here all the various things that I've taught in past days. Then I decided that the best thing for me to do was to make my way again through the book of Ephesians and let the Spirit of God give direction and let me see some of the most catching, magnificent, thrilling presentations of the Word of God in this magnificent book of Ephesians. What I was able to discover that I see here, what I classify as continuous triumph and victory. Make your way through, if you can go back and find all those heavy books of notes from Ephesians, make your way through and analyze, if you will, please, how fantastic a book Ephesians really is. It's unique to me to be able to see how God used the Apostle Paul. When I think of the word Paul, I think of the word Saul of Tarsus. I think of Acts chapter 9. I think of Acts chapter 8. I think of Acts chapter 7. I go back to Acts chapter 2. My mind goes through all of these magnificent things, and I see that the Word of God tells me that the Apostle Paul was an instrument magnificently used to give a message to us as Gentiles. And when I make my way through this magnificent book, trying to find myself seeing those unique passages of Scripture which I believe need to be reiterated, recapitulated today, what I'm seeing is continuous triumph and victory in the life of the believer. I believe that that's what God desires for you and me. There's a presentation in this magnificent book of the fact that you and I as believers are members of royalty. We're members of the royal family. We've been invited to come to the banquet table that's prepared for royalty. And these past weeks without the ability to get out and get around as much. Being closed in, we've had the wonderful opportunity, the ability to find ourselves close to God and God's Word. And we're able to see how we can magnificently understand that God is treating us magnificently as members of royalty. He's inviting us over and over and over again to the banquet table of royalty. He's saying, come and dine. Come and dine. And every time I hear those words in my mind, I'm hearing the words, my grace is pursuing you. When I look at Ephesians 4 and verse 1, I see how the Apostle Paul became an instrument of grace. And I see the royal family presented here. When I look at this magnificent chapter 4, I see in verses 1 through 16 that the royal family is on the road to victory. Now, we're not exegeting all of this today. I'm just trying to give you a quick summary and bring you up to date to let you see in coming days where we're going to be. In verses 1 through 16 of the fourth chapter, the royal family is presented as being on the road to victory. God desires that we see that we're on the road to victory. Even in the midst of difficulty, burdens, trials, tests, various things come our way that are not all that pleasant at all. And yet, God is pursuing us. His grace is pursuing us. And we are being called to see that we're on the road to victory. I have to tell you that when you look at chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, that the Lord lets us see something else. I'm not trying to preach this chapter to you today. I'm trying to just give you a quick outline. Point one would be verses 1 through 16. The royal family on the road to victory. But then I'm startled when I look at the next verses, 17 and 18 and 19. I find that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is saying the royal family can also turn to the road of apostasy. That's an outline. That's the number two. The royal family on the road to apostasy. We have a challenge. I don't know what all you've done. It's not for me to know what has transpired in your life over these past 2 months. These have been challenging months for us. These have been challenging days for us. These have been days of being shut in, shut out from the world. How much profit has come our way? What have we done as an individual? What have we done, husband and wife? What have we done as a family? What have we done as a church family over the past days? This has been a magnificent time for us. It could be a time of victory. It could be a time of advance. It could be a time of moving forward. It could be a time of appreciating God's grace that is pursuing us. Or on the other hand, it could have been a time of apostasy. I have to hasten just to give you a quick outline of chapter 4. Number 3, in verses 20 to 32 of this fourth chapter, there's an emphasis on the road to recovery. The road to recovery. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful ones in Christ. When I go back to analyze this verse, I see, therefore, the Spirit of God is saying through Paul to these Ephesian believers, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you. The word beseech is an interesting one. I'm not going to get into great detail here. The word paraclete is a word that all of us have learned in past days. It's an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and it is made up of a compound. It's a compound word, para, alongside, kaleo, call alongside. That's the meaning of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul is saying here to these Ephesian believers, I beseech you, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you. And the word is that same word, parakaleo. It is a verb in the continuous sense. The Apostle Paul is saying to us as believers that he is continually saying to us, I want you to see that grace is continually seeking, pursuing you. You and I are to know that. I, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. I encourage you. I'm calling upon you to walk. To walk enthusiastically. To walk faithfully. To walk with determination. Can you see this? If we're saved by grace, then how can grace produce in us? How does grace produce from the point of salvation? The answer to these questions, plural, are, the answer is, found in Ephesians 2:10, where it says, we keep on being His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let me put this on the screen for you to see. We're saved by grace. Then how can grace produce in us? How can we be the recipients of that pursuing grace? How does grace produce from the point of salvation on us? The answer is found here in Ephesians 2:10. It says, we keep on being His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You have to understand that I have so much that I want to say, and I'm trying to be brief this morning just by giving you a summary of where we're headed in coming days. The answer is, if it's a singular answer, the answer is, changing the word from is to are, answers are. The answers are found not only in a part of Ephesians 2:10, but in all the various facets of Ephesians 2:10. Because it says we are His workmanship. When you look at that word His, you'll see that it is a personal pronoun. A personal pronoun. We belong to Him. He belongs to us. We are His workmanship. It's magnificent in understanding that the Scripture goes on to say that we are created create means that there must be something that has drastically changed us. We classify that as regeneration, the new birth. There must be an investment of spiritual frame in your life and mine. We must be moved from the natural to the spiritual. That's the meaning of that word, create. Create means to reduce from a state of disorder, spiritual death. It means that we are and have been in a state of disorder with Satan controlling, the old sin nature bringing disorder and disaster. But create means that there must be a new something take place. There must be an investment of a spiritual frame. That's the reason why the scripture tells us that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We must be moved from the natural to the spiritual. We must understand what we were in Adam 1 and what we are now in Adam 2. The scripture says we are created in Christ Jesus. Let me pause for just a few moments on the word created in Christ Jesus. When I look at that word, I discover that it means that we become the recipients, passive voice. We become the recipients of this creation. And when we become the recipients of this creation, then we're placed in a position where we can be the recipients of the pursuing of God's grace. Created in Christ Jesus. And we then can become the production of good works. Production means that when God builds upon His foundation, then the results of His production will be good works. I pause for a moment quickly to tell you that when you get to that word good works, the word good is agathos, a word that all of us know. It's God's good. It's intrinsic good. It's what God is doing. Good works, intrinsic good. God's good works, produced by the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. It is defined as divine good. And I jotted a little note here. When this was all planned, when God hath before ordained, it says here, pre-decreed, prefabricated, prefixed, pre-prepared, beforehand, all blessings have been made ready, prefabbed, that we should walk in them. Are you following? Are you seeing how beautiful this is? What did God plan for you and me in the eternal ages past? He planned for us to be able to come to a point where we're able to see that grace is pursuing us. All blessings have been made ready. All these blessings have been prefabbed that we should walk in them. And I have to hasten to come to the conclusion here because we have other things to go on here besides my preaching. But I want you to see, when you look at this word, that we should walk. Let me stop and let you think with me. The verb there is in the subjunctive mood. It's the aorist, active, subjunctive of peripateo. I've loved this word through the years. Peripateo. Peri means around. Pateo means to walk around. To enjoy, to appreciate, to be satisfied. In other words, this is saying God did this in the eternal ages past. He wants us to see that His grace is pursuing you and me. And we should make decisions consistently, faithfully, to yield ourselves and obey so that we can be joyous, triumphant, victorious in life. Could I pause just a second longer? The subjunctive mood is a mood of potentiality. This gets right down here where you and I live. I'm looking out at a group of people today whom I've loved through the years. And that love continues to increase beyond my ability to even describe it. I have to tell you something that I know, because I know how great God is. God's grace is pursuing you and me in one of the most magnificent ways that you and I right now probably don't give that much consideration to. But I'm trying to stop you long enough to let you see, along with me, that these last days, weeks, have not been days unsuccessful. These have been wonderful days. These have been magnificent days in my life, in the life of Joyce and me. As we've studied more diligently than we have, even though we have been diligent students over the years, more so in these last days. And it has become so magnificent and so wonderful and so fantastic. There's just no way that we're able to communicate what all has transpired. God's grace is pursuing you as an individual, pursuing your family, pursuing our church family. What I'm seeing is so fantastic. And I don't want you to miss this. This verb is in the subjunctive mood. Peripateo. The pattern of life for you and me has already been designed. It has been prefabbed. It has been put together successfully by the master builder. No one can build like our Heavenly Father. No one can plan like our Heavenly Father for you and for me, for our church. No one can plan like He's planned for you and me and us. It makes me want to cry for joy as I'm able to see, even now, after these weeks of silence, so to speak, these have not been days of silence. These have been days of broadcasting louder to me and to Joyce and me and to us than it seems like it's ever been before. The pattern of life has already been designed. Now we're to relax, accept it, and walk in it willingly, diligently, enthusiastically. So I would say to you as an individual, don't, please don't. I say it to myself, please don't let this slip. Don't miss out on this. God's prefabbed this. God's planned this for us. It's a life of joy and peace and triumph and victory. We must be where God wants us to be. We must be right with Him. We must be diligent in the study of His Word. We must be perceptive to His plan for our lives. I promise you, if that is true and we're obeying this potential subjunctive mood, we cannot even imagine what is going to happen in our individual lives and in our church and in our families in coming days. That's not all that I plan to preach today, but that's enough. May we bow for a prayer, please. Father, we want to thank you for the magnificent plans that you have for us individually, for our church family, for families in our church. We pray that we will understand that if we're perceptive to your plan, open to your plan, willing to walk according to your design, that we're going to be able to see how fantastic your plan is for us individually, for our church family, for our families, for all of us. And most of all, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus and the great gift of salvation that you've given to us. We do not deserve this gift at all. And we realize that when God loved, he loved the world. And when Christ died, he died that people could believe and have salvation and eternal life. And in these closing moments of this service today, I pray that there will be those who will trust you, who will accept you, realizing that the Bible says that we're all sinners, but we can be sinners saved by grace. Because the scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. We thank you over and over again for your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen.